Blog Talk Radio.
Siren, you know the drill. This is your host here, Will Coy, here on the Aftermath Show, where everything's dedicated to the post-apocalyptic genre. I'm going to talk about some BBC's Survivors, which is now showing here on BBC America on Saturday evenings. And just kind of going to go over the last 2 weeks, the last couple of two episodes. Actually, it's split up actually in three episodes, and we got one extended episode last week of like 1 and 2, and then a third episode of this past Saturday. So kind of talk about a little bit about the remake, and also kind of maybe do a little bit of comparisons here on the original Survivors, which, you know, also I'm a big fan of, Terry Nations, which Terry Nations created back in the 70s, that ran from about 1975 to 77. I also wanted to quickly bring up a little bit of news here about Discovery Channel's the reality post-apocalyptic show, The Colony, that aired this past summer, late summer, which it was kind of a basic, kind of like a hybrid reality slash drama mixed in type show, in which a group of colonists or survivors basically come together and try to improve their conditions, their survivability, by creating different devices and machinery, equipment, and things like water purifiers, ways to make energy, electricity, power, making food, weapons in some cases. It was a pretty interesting show to watch how the different with different elements, different survivors came together. They each had kind of different skill sets, and they were each providing different, ideas into, building some of these machines in order to, for power, for cooking, purifying water, and such. And it was kind of set a post-apocalyptic L.A., the original, what we saw last year. I don't think it really had a, one cataclysm. It was based upon one cataclysm, one apocalyptic scenario. I think it was kind of like a mix of, if this were to happen, a cataclysm, and you had so many survivors coming out of a city or so. So it was, I don't think it was really specified in the first one. I've read just a couple of pieces on some local newspapers, one out of Denver and one out of Houston, where basically they were doing some local casting calls, and they were just kind of highlighting, where people could go and actually, meet with some of the producers or the people, doing the casting. I noticed in the latest one, which was just last week, was in Denver. There was one little line there that I think Tom Beers had kind of commented about, or at least one of the producers of the show. It said they were, in talks, with the usual, because one thing they had in the original was a lot of experts in survival skills, psychology. They had whole kinds of different, people that were, emergency management, experts, those kind of things, that have also followed other scenarios like post-Katrina and other disasters. And had some, realization of what the aftermath would be, and what people, behavior, and what would come out of those type of disasters. you're going to have to see a lot of those kind of experts, it sounds like, in the next one also. One thing that was interesting, one in that little line, it says that they were really in contact with viral experts, which kind of leads me to think that they may base this similar on kind of like Show the Survivors or, you know, post-pandemic viral, you know, apocalyptic scenario in which, you know, most of the population befalls this, you know, a very, you know, bad viral epidemic, pandemic, and our survivors may just be, you know, the few immune people that are immune to it. That leads to kind of, you know, an interesting scenario in which you pretty much, if your population is kind of like, you know, I'm going to talk about survivors here shortly, but it kind of leads to, you know, where I've talked about before, these post-pandemic type scenarios, you have a few people left in these storylines, but pretty much everything's intact. There's still plenty of food, those type of things still left over. They're not infinite, but they're, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, things that you could scavenge and gather. There's probably a lot of machinery, tools, those type of things still intact. So books, things like that. Obviously, the major thing is your power, you know, this kind of communication. Everything is off the grid or not working, is been shut down because there's nobody to maintain them. But pretty much in a scenario like that, a post-fire or, you know, situation, yeah, you probably see a bit of destruction from your usual infrastructure fall, you know, failing, local fires, those type of things, and other calamities. But for the most part, most of the structures and, as I said before, a lot of food, those type of things are still, if they're not, you know, in a calamity or disaster or pre-disaster, when people, you know, get into that lockdown mode, I guess you say, or fallout mode, where, you know, everybody's running the store and the harvest and gathering all their materials, and, you know, you would think, you know, there's a rush on the stores and these places, they'll get cleared out. But you have to think, that most of those stuff have to go somewhere. So they have to come to a home or someplace. If someone dies in their home, all that stuff is still going to be left there. You may not find it in one location at a store, but there also, you have to think, there'd be a lot of warehouses where you'd probably find a lot of foodstuffs and such that were not on, you know, those initial front line of those food shelves. So my point is, basically, in a scenario like that, it's kind of interesting. You're not dealing with so much destruction and such, like a post-nuclear apocalyptic scenario or some type of asteroid or extraterrestrial type impact or something, or war, you know, World War III, something great, you know, something in that scenario where you're dealing with a lot of destruction and structures and other such, bit more dire, obviously, situation. Any post-apocalyptic scenario is going to be dire, you know, for any survivors, but it does provide, at least for the storyline and for the show called, you know, This Colony, makes it even probably a little more realistic as you can play it out, because obviously you don't have to create a destruction zone or something on the set or something like that. Again, as I said, the structures and all that would be the same. Obviously, in a post-pandemic event, though, in any metro area, you're going to have multiple amounts of dead corpse bodies. That is probably the single most with disease because of all the, you know, decaying bodies and, you know, and you know, if you think of a city of 500,000, a million, 2 million, whatever it is, or a major city of 10 million, it's just an enormous amount, you know. So, you know, the thinking is always that, you know, if you ever had, you know, some survivors that would come out of those large cities, you would generally think they would try to gather as much probably as they can stand, because once so many bodies start to decay, there's just nobody to, you know, bury all of these bodies. They'll come out of the cities. Eventually, in time, people will migrate back to these cities once the decaying process is come to some, you know, towards the end. You know, I'm not a biological, I guess it would be, 9 months, a year, something like that, once people would start returning, and gathering foodstuffs and tools and whatever. That's just my thinking. It's similar to in the original Survivors, or in the episode 6, the series 2 called Lights of London, where there were some survivors in London that did try to clean up, at least far try to bury some. It seemed like, but there was the rat population. Nothing. Rat population just quadrupled. 10 times. I mean, just a multitude of rats because of all the, the bodies and such. And this led to, in that episode, in those two-part episode, it was a mysterious disease that was, or disease had stricken a lot of the survivors that were Londoners in that series. And that was a consistent problem with that small community that tried to eke it out in London. But they were always dealing with disease. And in my thinking, always, when you think about post-pandemic or something like that, if you had 99% of your population actually die, or 95%, whatever, the case would be, if that many people were die one time or over extended, a couple of weeks period, you can't fathom staying in that area for, in a month's time, a couple of weeks after that, the stench, it would seem like it would just be overwhelming and really unrealistic. But it'll be interesting to see how Tom Beers sets this up, and they play if they do play along that storyline as far as a post pandemic type scenario. But that's just I'm kind of reaching here, because actually, like I said, it was a little couple of sentences there where it just said that they were in close contact with many experts, disaster experts, and then one small line there said that they were also talking to viral experts, post-pandemic, people deal with these type of situations. So perhaps that's the direction they're going for the Colony Season 2. So, and I believe that'll probably be airing this summer. So we have to look out for some more news on that. It'll be quite interesting. I enjoyed, again, the first season. I thought it was, very interesting series. And, it was, pretty tough survival on the people who participated in it, because it is pretty much a voluntary thing. And, you go into it and they pretty much leave, a little bit of tools and so much food, around. You pretty much are left to yourself to scavenge and to find food for, to survive on. And, you have to use your wits and your brains and some muscle and sweat, basically, put together, some other equipment and other things, like I said before, to try to make some kind of power if you can, or at least try to some system to purify water and such. But, again, that's a little bit of news on the Colony, and that kind of goes right into our survivors. Obviously, Survivors, the remake here, is kind of based on the original series Terry Nation made back in the 1970s. And the first 2 weeks, we've seen, three episodes. The first one was an extended two-hour feature, which they had basically two episodes in, and then an hour episode this past Saturday. My just kind of first impressions is that it's kind of a condensed or more compressed type storyline from the original. And, I don't know if it's fair to even make comparisons, but I guess, it should be fair. It is fair in the sense that it is made drawn from the same source. But, obviously, this is a remake. You can see that, there are differences the way they're approaching the plot lines. I had mixed feelings. Storyline so far it's been pretty good. I had mixed feelings probably more on some of the characters than I do anything else. But just kind of highlight a little bit what's happened is basically We have Abby, basically, whose son she's looking for, who's kind of like the matriarch, you know, basically, you know, the survivors. She meets with the other group, which is basically made up of Greg Preston, Tom Price, Al, Sadiq, Anya, and Najeed. That small group meet on a motorway after everyone has already basically died. And basically, in similar to the original, you know, there's just kind of, you know, after the death, people are just kind of wandering by themselves or in very small groups at that point, one or two people. And basically, because if you think about 99% of your population has died, you know, you can imagine the desolation of, you know, the loneliness, the emptiness of, you know, the cities and the outskirts of the cities, the countryside. It could just, I mean, you could probably walk, you know, for miles and miles or and not see or hear anybody. You know, it's just an amazing kind of thought, you know. But that's kind of what you see kind of in the first episode here. And then slowly, one person meets another person, and then these two people meet, you know, another person or more people. And in this storyline, they all kind of come together on a motorway, basically by accident. And Abby kind of gives a speech, and basically each is kind of on their own. Some of them are just lost as far as what they're going to do next. They not really have any plans or, you know, I've thought about what they're going to do in the near future. I think Greg Preston in the new one, probably the most realistic of the bunch, because as we meet him, he already has equipment that tools and water and other things that he's gotten from an Army Navy surplus store. It seemed to be more prepared for the outbreak or for the aftermath here. Abby gives this kind of speech. Now I admit, you know, I don't want to, you know, just to be kind of real, you know, if her speech is, you know, understandable. I mean, especially if you're lost, you don't really have any idea what you're going to be doing next. You could see, you know, joining up with Abby and, you know, and basically, her speech basically relies basically or says, that she, you know, we have to come together. We have to find a way to renew ourselves, basically, you know, to survive, to learn the you know, new ways of you know, producing things, food, tools, such, you know, gathering things, you know. So they kind of, you know, lean to her, you know, very early on, which, okay, you know, I get that. I'd have to say, I don't know, You know, was that speech to me, you know, when I watched it, Barron's, you know, when I attached myself, I don't know if I would be that willing that quickly, you know. And in the original one, the Abby Grant in the original series, the way they did, Terry Nation started out, it took such like Greg and Ginny, and also the differences here. You know, we don't have a Ginny. Ginny dies in the remake in this one. So we don't have a Greg and Ginny partnership or relationship that we did in the original. But in that one, it was kind of Greg and Ginny kind of coming together, meeting, and then kind of meeting up with Abby. But it was kind of like tagging along at first, and then eventually kind of growing, you know, coming together as a group slowly, not really, you know, really, you know, at once, gelling together in a sense. You got the sense that in the original, Greg was always apprehensive in what his actual, you know, plans were until he really kind of start falls in love with Ginny, that he decides that, you know, he needs to be the protector and to stay in it and form the group that Abby. And if you remember, and I talked about this in the last episode, in the original series, Abby meets the schoolmaster, which really lays down the foundation of the survivability of what this long-term survivors will need to do in order to at least get off the ground. And that was to learn how to, you know, produce food, become farm, you know, learn how to, you know, survive, you know, basically, you know, you know, be able to, you know, and then learn how to, you know, form tools, those kind of things. So it was really, really basic in the original, how the way they, you know, they described how one would have to, you know, survive in a situation which, you know, all the power is gone, everything is, all the, you know, this conveniences of modern times right now are just, you know, swept away, and here you are left basically without, because most of the people who had the skills and the knowledge to keep the power grids on and do, you know, are dead. So most of the people that now are surviving are probably your normal survivor night or storekeeper, clerk, maybe they were a manager of a store, perhaps one or two, maybe a scientist, you may be lucky, one's a doctor, but you're not going to have a full round of, you know, folks, you know, if someone did know, was an expert, you know, or in hydroelectric power, I know you'd be lucky, maybe there's one person, and, you know, in America, just take the United States, 99, you know, got maybe one or two, two people in the whole would be left that would even understand even how to power, keep power going. So, you know, it's that was kind of one thing that I thought was missing in the remake here. Although they did have kind of a schoolmaster kind of, you know, emphasize that in the remake, it didn't come over strongly or as profoundly or as interesting or more thoughtful or in a way than the original did. And that kind of leads to what I'm thinking about the remake in this condensed version. I don't see the long-term, you know, right now, and it's too early to, because right now in the storyline, I mean, they're still just grouping together and they're just fine. I mean, obviously there's ample food stores and stuff around, and that would be your first instinct right here at the beginning. If this is just soon after an aftermath like this, you don't need to just begin learning how to, that would come down the road. Right now, your main thing probably would be to find a base, though, you know, and from there gather as much stuff that you can and store for yourself, or lay claim to a large, say, a warehouse, or the like. In this last episode, that's what was pretty interesting and similar to the in the original. They come across a grocery store, basically, and they find a body being hung that was hung there as a warning to anybody who comes to the store that it's already been claimed. And then they run into a gang, kind of a leader named Dexter, who's kind of a tough guy out of the gang. And this is where it deviates a little bit from the original. Now, you know, the Dexter character, okay, in the original, Abby meets an Arthur Wormley, who, in the original, his physique and his wit, and he, in his prior, before the death, was kind of like a union organizer, or, you know, he was involved in similar to politics and the organization and workers and that kind of thing. So he had some of the expertise, and in those episodes in the original, you could see his totalitism and his leadership organizing the people remaining in his area, and you could see, you know, where, you know, this is going to be the tough guy. This is the guy, you know, you're going to deal with, and you could see why, because, you know, he's already, you know, put together a group of tough guys, you know, to kind of, you know, manhandle anything that's out there, and he's basically, you know, running the show. And you kind of got that, and if you see the episodes with Arthur Wormley, his manner, his wit, you know, the way he talks, you know, you can kind of see this guy's, you know, this is going to be somebody you have to look out for. This is a guy who's in charge here. You can tell that he would be someone to reckon with. Dexter, on the other hand, in the new remake, kind of similar to what you probably realistically probably would find in aftermath of this, gangs of people, and so it's not unrealistic. But with the Arthur Wormley and the way they did it in the original, you kind of started seeing how groups were starting to form, and quickly people starting to coalesce around particular people as leaders, good or bad. And the main thing is people want order. They, you know, even the law, they want order, security. They'll take that in a situation like this from somebody who's, benevolent or malevolent, good or evil, but mainly, if you have law, order, and security under whatever umbrella it comes, you could realistically think that, people, even if they may not disagree with what, that person is, would find still the security in those things important enough or, more valuable than necessarily trying to, change, leadership. Even if that person, like I said, is probably not necessarily the best or, a good person. But obviously, leaders come, by strength, or by intelligence. It's or a mix of the two. And, in the remake here, you have Dexter. It's kind of like a gang member, He's not really – so they don't really flush out that kind of, situation where you see like an Arthur Wormley, somebody who's somewhat, the tough guy on the block is kind of, got organization already, that's putting together a community, versus, say, Abby and what she's thinking more of a democratic type, community society that she's trying to put together. But here you see this guy Dexter's kind of like a more like a head of a gang, and it is kind of pretty realistic. Seeing that's probably most like what you would run into realistically, short after something like this would happen. I thought the only disappointment I found was in the character Abby Grant, and that's why I was saying earlier mixed feelings about the characters. I thought the scene where she kind of knelt down and cried when the guy put the gun, Dexter put the gun barrel in. This was because she came back a second time. She had already been warned. She balls out. She kind of, asked for, she's not asking, but she's basically, for mercy. That just doesn't seem like the Abby Grant that I envisioned or saw in the original one. She's tougher, a little bit blue. You would have thought she was a little bit more witty or something. She would come up with something in order to get out of that situation. She pretty much doesn't. Dexter just kind of pulls the barrel and shoots at the a wall or something there. And basically, just he lets him go with a second warning. Now, in a situation similar like this, now maybe Dexter does have somewhat of a heart because, he really could have not shot Abby because Tom Price is right there, played by Max Beasley. Could have shot Tom Price, then taken Abby because she's crying like, a baby, and just sent her back to her group. And, I'm sure she would have never even come back around wherever, that side of town. That's kind of how I saw it, a little bit. Understandably, the story progresses there. They run in again with Dexter. Dexter this time puts the gun on Greg this time when they meet again. And again, he doesn't pull the trigger. He lets him go. So, it was kind of, because I'll tell you, in the original Survivors, Arthur Wormley, when somebody's found stealing, in that episode too, I think it was in Genesis, they took the guy that they found stealing and they put him, and Arthur Wormley orders his execution. They take him right out front and shoot him. And that was a clear right there, where things stand and where this guy was, how far he was willing to go. And this Dexter, the gangster kind of leader, obviously he's not a tough guy. He's not, he doesn't ever pull the trigger. He doesn't, he acts like a tough guy. Okay, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of going, I can't help to think about some of the show, like, how it's been being written. But, it's just some comparisons that I see from the original in here. So, in a way, I didn't see Dexter as kind of the tough guy that the character that they originally had in the original. Now, and I also don't see Abby Grant, and played by Julie Graham. Now, I'm not saying she's not a bad actress. I'm just saying the way they wrote her character in those situations, I thought they could have wrote it a little better. They could have made her tougher. They could have made her a little bit more wittier. You just don't see that coming out. Real quickly about the characters, like I said, but I think Abby Grant's character, by played by Julie Graham, I do think we'll see more of her in the next episode. Maybe just kind of get used to her, flesh out her character some more. And maybe I have more of a change of heart about the way she's playing that character. Patterson Joseph plays Greg Preston. I think he's doing a pretty good job. The Max Beasley, Tom Price character, totally different from the original. Tom Price was a hobo in the original one. Tom Price is kind of he's an ex-convict. He was able to get away from the prison after the death. Really tough guy, you know, but now a new kind of lease on life. Now after the death, very interesting. I like the way they've written in that character. The Al-Sadiq and Najib, not bad. You know, it's kind of, you know, interesting. It kind of adds a little bit more the authenticity to a new UK, and you know, the characters are kind of coming together still. We'll see how they're flushed out here, kind of in the next couple of series. So I'm kind of neutral on that. The Anya character is going to come play the young doctor. You know, now they have not a bad play by Zoe Tapper. She's not bad at all. We'll see how that kind of progresses. Obviously, there wasn't an Anya, you know, in the original, although they brought in the medical Ruth later on. So, but we'll see. But she's pretty interesting character. You know, as far as the storyline now, as I said, Abby gets confronted basically by gang thugs, this guy Dexter and his gang. Eventually, you know, what happens is they basically just give up. Well, you know, they don't want to fight for the that was another thing at the end, because they brought in the situation similar to in the original Carl and Sarah. Carl got, you know, the bulldozer, his legs got crushed. And in this one, his name is Bob. He gets crushed by crates that fall off from the shelf. The Sarah character, it's pretty interesting, similar to the original. She's got a pretty good, it's a pretty good character. I like the way they kind of revamped that. And but there was a scene there with Abby is almost going to fight with Sarah's about to go throw down with Abby, and Abby says it's not worth fighting. Well, I'm sorry. If there is a warehouse full of goods, food, and there's just one lady just holding on all that stuff, that's worth fighting for. I mean, that's my point of view. I thought that was kind of, kind of weak in a sense, not to challenge Sarah for all the goods. But then shortly after Dexter and his gang shows up, and they have to kind of retreat anyhow. So that's just how the ending kind of unfolded. Basically, Abby and the group return back to the house that they're staying at with Sarah. And now we're going to see where the story goes from here. But that's pretty much, top synopsis. Basically, up to now, the storyline has been they have kind of after the pandemic, basically have kind of loners. They have to kind of retreat anyhow. So that's just how the ending kind of unfolded. Basically, Abby and the group return back to the house that they're staying at with Sarah. And now we're going to see where the story goes from here. But that's pretty much, top synopsis. Basically, up to now, the storyline has been they have kind of after the pandemic, basically have kind of loners. They've been kind of finding each other. Now they're a group. Now they're encountering other groups. And that's kind of really where we're at. But it's pretty interesting so far. I've enjoyed it, and I think it's going to make for pretty interesting TV here on Saturdays. And it's on BBC America. That's every Saturday. Again, it's the remake of Survivors from BBC. That's pretty much going to do it here. I know I've kind of talked over my time here. I just wanted to kind of make some comparisons here from the original here with the new remake, and also, just kind of remind you that the originals you can find on the YouTube Aftermath Show. You can find it at YouTube, /aftermathshow.com. That link is on by Blog Talk Radio webpage. Just link over there, and you can see the every Sunday upload a new episode of the original. Right now we're on Series 2. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show here. I hope you're watching Survivors. Look out for the new colony coming up here next this coming summer on the Discovery Channel. And that'll do it. You have a great afternoon, and we'll see you next Tuesday. This is your host here, Will Coy. Thanks for listening to the Aftermath Show.